My name is Jeffrey Blanks. I'm 18 years old. Today's day is the 26th of October, 2018. I'm speaking with my best friend's father, and his name is Mr. Donahue, and we're in Savannah, Ohio. And what is the topic that we'll be talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about my experience in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, so the bombing that came many years before 9/11.
Okay. Where was this at?
This was in the World Trade Center in New York City, and when the bomb went off around 11:50 a.m. on February 26th, I believe it was, 1993, I was on the very top floor at a restaurant called Windows on the World. That's cool. So the reason that I was there is because I am a financial advisor now at Merrill Lynch, but when I got my start 26 years ago, I started working for a company by the name of Dean Witter. And Dean Witter, which is now called Morgan Stanley, but Dean Witter was headquartered in the World Trade Center. And as part of my training, they moved me to New York for over a month, and I was staying in a hotel in the World Trade Center called the Vista Hotel.
Wow.
And every day I would wake up and look out the window, and I could see the entrance to the parking garage that went underground from the street where the bomb was.
Okay.
So the bomb was technically under my hotel room when it went off. So I went to training on Super Bowl Sunday, 1993. It was the first time the Dallas Cowboys were in the Super Bowl after many, many years. And it was terrific because I was in the World Financial District as a 24-year-old. Wow. And my favorite team was in the Super Bowl. And so
top of the world.
Yes. Good start to the month.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to spend a month in New York City training as a financial advisor. Dallas won that Super Bowl, so it was even better. And is that working?
Yeah. Let's just stop for a little bit.
All right. Well, we can review some of the things if we need to. But so I was there for an entire month in New York, which was fantastic as a 24-year-old. But the last day of the training class, we were going to celebrate at lunch, the end of the class, at a restaurant called Windows on the World, which is the top floor of, I forget which tower, of the World Financial, World Trade Center.
Okay.
In the World Financial District. And so just before lunch, take an elevator up to that 107, 110th floor.
110?
Yeah. It was the tallest building in the world at the time.
Sheesh. I didn't know that.
And incredible views. I had woke up late that morning. Okay, because I was out kind of late the night before because it was my final night in New York City.
Right.
And if you were late to class, you got in trouble. So I didn't want to be late to class. So when I left my room, the only thing I grabbed was this key card. So the only thing in my pocket that morning was this key card. Didn't have my wallet, didn't have any identification, just this key card. And so I went to class, didn't have any breakfast, was kind of hungry by the time lunch rolled around. And so we got up to the lunch and they had like bread and wine waiting for us to snack on before we actually had the lunch.
Okay.
So I don't even drink wine, so I didn't have any of that. I had a small piece of bread. And then the speaker, a guy that was running the class, starts talking about how successful we're going to be and how it's going to be important that we do cold calls. And he wanted to make the point that the cold calls rejection from the cold calls weren't bullets. They weren't going to kill us. And as soon as he said the word bullets, an explosion went off. But this is 1993. And at that time, there was no terrorism in the United States like this. So we all heard it, speculated around the table, and I was in the back of the room about what it could have been. Lady from California thought it was an earthquake. Another guy thought it was a transformer blowing up. Another guy thought it was a jet going by, but nobody knew what it actually was. So the guy started talking again, and about 10 minutes later, the restaurant manager comes up to him, whispers in his ear. He looks around the room and said, there's a small fire in the building. We've got to exit the back and start going down the stairs. Now, there were 150 people in this room. So we start walking out the kitchen to the back door to go to the steps. And they're handing us napkins that they had wet so that if we got into a situation where there was smoke, because they said there was a small fire, we could cover our mouth with them.
Okay.
I remember I'm on the 110th floor, and we're going to start walking downstairs. And the assumption is we're going to walk down to the next floor, get on the elevator, and go down the elevator. Why? Not at the back of the line. That's what everybody thought.
Okay.
So we were just going to get to the next floor, get on an elevator, and go down the elevator. So we're standing in line waiting to go down the stairs, and the line's not moving. It was like being in a line at Cedar Point for a roller coaster, and I'm at the back of it. So it takes us about 15 to 20 minutes just to get to the next floor, and we don't get off and get to an elevator. We keep going down the stairs.
Wow.
And it's slow moving. And so as you get down about floor 105, 104, you start smelling the smoke and you start thinking, this might be a real thing, but you're still not aware of what's going on. So people were making jokes in line about what actor was going to play you in the movie. Because now at that time we were thinking about the movie Towering Inferno, which was a 1970s movie, but I guess you could compare it to the most recent Rock movie called Tower, right? Where
Skyscraper?
Yeah, Skyscraper. There you go.
Okay.
And so we were joking about that. But then the smoke started to get a little bit more prevalent. So we started to worry a little bit more, and the line wasn't moving very fast, because now I know that all of the floors were dumping into the stairwell. So the building holds 60,000 people. And so they're all going into the stairwell to try to get out. So I'm last in line out of 60,000 in the stairwell. Wow. So you start to get a little bit worried, and the line's still moving slow down the stairs. You're feeling the doors and getting a little bit nervous, but then it started to speed up just as it was filling more with smoke, like a chimney.
Okay.
And it turns out,
when you got more smoke.
What's that?
So it started to speed up when you had more smoke. Well,
fortunately, the line started to move faster, because I think it just started to clear out. We were getting into the stairwells were only about two wide.
Okay.
And then I think when we got down to about the 80th floor, give or take, it was like almost three wide. So it started to move a little bit faster, but it was filling up with more smoke, and there was a lot of people in front of us, and you would see people stopping because they were out of breath,
right?
And they were out of shape, and they were leaving their purses, leaving their coats, leaving their suit coats on the ground. But then it really started to fill up with smoke, because it turns out that the mechanism to suck all the smoke out didn't work. Okay. So it was really like a chimney that you're walking through.
Wow.
And so people are starting to get panicked. You start to have to slow down to help people out and calm them down. And I remember getting down, gosh, I can't remember if it was in the 60s, I believe, not the 40s, as far as the floor goes. And all the lights went out.
smoky and no
pitch
lights.
Black. Pitch black, can't see a thing. You know, everybody yelled the same two words when it happened. You know, oh.
No.
You know, oh, okay. Right? Okay. Oh, four-letter word. Everybody yelled it at the same time. And the guy behind me who I knew from class, smart guy, just yelled for everybody to stop. And he said, everybody take your left hand and grab the railing on your left and grab the person in front of you's shoulder and keep walking one step at a time. So we all grabbed the rail, grabbed the shoulder, and just started going down. And there was a newspaper article written about it after I did one of the interviews, and they called it, what they say? They said, Oregon Man or Toledo Man caterpillars his way down World Trade Center stairs. Yeah, that was the word he used, caterpillared.
Okay.
So we did that for about 10 floors, and then the emergency lights finally came back on. And so that was like in the 30s. And then it started to clear out a little bit more. And then you started to finally see firemen, right, in the 20s. So you knew you were going to be okay.
Okay.
So we finally made it down to the mezzanine level of the hotel after about 2.5 hours in that stairwell.
That's long.
It was, yeah, it was really long. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous at times, thinking that maybe that was the end. But we got out, and I was supposed to catch a plane back to, I was living in Columbus at the time, back to Columbus like an hour and a half after I got out of there. So all I'm thinking about is,
you know, your identification.
I'm thinking I got to get my luggage and I got to get to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to figure that out. And when I got down to the mezzanine level, the World Trade Center, if you've ever seen pictures of it, had like two-story glass windows in the mezzanine or lobby area. It was huge. They were all blown out. All the glass had broken. So I'm looking at that. I'm like, well, that's kind of strange. And I see people walking through this courtyard, through the glass, through this courtyard. I'm like, all right, well, maybe I should go that direction. But before I did that, one of the guys that was in my training class that everybody thought was kind of a chucklehead anyways, comes up to a group of us and he goes, I heard that was a terrorist bomb. And we all looked at him like, you're nuts. That couldn't, terrorist bomb, that's crazy.
Right.
Of course, we all learned later that it was, but so we walked out through that courtyard. And by the way, it was a terrorist bomb. It was in the parking garage underneath my hotel, which is what I was trying to walk towards. And I think three or four people died in that. I'd have to look it up. And I mean, it wasn't anything like 9/11, but there was people that were killed because of it. So when we're walking out, there's sirens everywhere. Firemen, EMS, police, just everywhere. Pandemonium. And there's like this walkway for the people who are coming out of the stairwell, and they started yelling, what floor were you on? What floor? They were just curious to what floor everybody was on. Well, when we got out, we're like, hey, we were on 110, we were at windows. So we won whatever lottery they were having,
right?
So all of a sudden we were the, well, let's talk to these people. So the guy that was running the training class, I saw later in the day, much later, because there was more to the story, was on CNN right away. But we walked through this. I get out in the clearing, and
wait. So who was asking you these questions?
Just reporters lined up, and just people, just curious people, like, and reporters wanted to know what, because it was some sort of a game, I guess. Like, what, you know, they wanted to find the person on the highest floor, I guess.
Right.
Because we were covered in smoke and soot, like our face was completely blackened, and I had soot coming out of my nose for like 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
So I get out, and a couple of us find like a EMS and it was like an EMS person, and we're like, hey, we got to get to the hotel, which was called the Vista Hotel. And they're like, well, you're not getting into that hotel. And they took us to a Red Cross center to just shelter us there. So about a dozen people from my training class all walked about a block and a half to this Red Cross Center they had set up. It's like in a building, kind of a mall-like area.
Okay.
And so we get there. They let us call back to our office, trying to figure out what's going on. And we start hearing on the news what's going on. They're bringing a TV. And somebody in that group, not from my class, but some other person, or no, wait, it was somebody from my class, I'm sorry, because they were with us, said that they saw an asbestos abatement sign, meaning that they were removing asbestos from somewhere.
What is that?
Asbestos is, like, toxic.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, because that guy said, or girl, I don't know who it was, said it, they quarantined my Red Cross area. And we couldn't leave because we were quarantined because of this asbestos suspicion that somebody said they saw. I never saw it. Nobody else said they saw it, but somebody said that they thought they saw it. So now we can't leave, and we start getting, because remember, no cell phones, there was no email. We start calling back to our offices, and they're saying, hey, everybody's rendezvousing at the Omega, I think it was, hotel, at another hotel. You guys need to get there. I'm like, well, they won't let us leave because of this asbestos thing. They tell us that they're bringing these trucks with these showers, and they're going to make us all take our clothes off and take these showers and get our clothes, whatever.
Okay.
And so now this is like, so bomb goes off a little bit before noon. We get out of there about 2:30. This is like 5:30, quarter to 6 at night. We're still stuck in this Red Cross Center and nothing's happening and everybody's saying to get back to this hotel. So about 7 of us decided to make a break for it. And we saw that there was a door that we could sneak out of that nobody's paying attention to. So we snuck out. All right, now it's end of February, New York City. It's freezing cold. We sneak out. We're on the streets of New York. Have no idea where this hotel is.
Wow.
Freezing our butt off. And we're looking all over for the hotel. And finally, somebody gives us some direction to the hotel. We make our way to the hotel. Everybody's like, where you been?
And we really?
Yeah. Where you been? So...
How long did it take to get from the Red Cross to the hotel?
It took us about a half an hour to find it. Okay. And then when we found it, they're like, we're getting everybody rooms. You had to have a roommate. But before you do that, you got to go get some new clothes because all of our clothes were covered with soot and smoky and everything like that. So they sent us to this store across the street. So it was downtown New York. It was Friday night. It was the only place open. I'd call it a cross between, oh gosh, Marshall's and Uptown Funk.
Okay.
Okay, meaning it was just really an eclectic group of clothing. I ended up with it was either like the pants were either purple. They're purple. Right? I had like purplish pants and like this jacket I got because I was cold.
How'd you get that?
Ugly clothes. They paid for it all.
Okay.
They paid for it all.
Wow. Purple pants.
So I got these weird looking clothes.
How about undergarment?
Didn't get any of that stuff, I don't think. I don't remember what else. I just remember the jacket and the pants were really weird. I probably got a couple of other things.
Okay. I'm gonna pause this really quick.
Okay. So once we got our clothes, we went back to the Omni Hotel. I think that's what the hotel name was. Really nice hotel. And they gave us a room assignment and told us to order room service and to put our clothes out so that they could get them dry cleaned. And so went up there, took a shower. Roommate from the class, I didn't know him. And the shower, I just remember all the soot coming out of my nose and ears. Mm-hmm. And it just never left. It was with me for days. So we turned on the news that night, and the guy that ran the class was on CNN, because was a terrorist bombing and that was big time news back then. And then my roommate in Columbus called the news station there, and they called my hotel room to do an interview back in Columbus from the hotel room. And so once that started, then I started to having to do more interviews with different news people and things like that. So what had happened was, spent the night there, woke up the next morning. They had to, for me, since I didn't have an ID, because they couldn't get into the hotel room where all of my stuff was, and I had every stitch of clothing I owned except for what was on my back.
Wow.
All my training stuff, my wallet, was all in that hotel room. So they gave me, I think, $200 cash and a password to use at the airport to get on the plane. So that worked. I don't know if it would work in this day and age, but that worked. Got on the plane, got home to Columbus. All I had was that suit that they dry cleaned and those funny clothes that I bought at that store. And I had to go start my career as a financial advisor the next day. And so, or that following Monday. But the following Monday through really the next 2 weeks was newspaper here, the Toledo Blade, the Oregon Suburban Press, the Columbus Dispatch, every news channel in Columbus, every news channel in Toledo. And then my manager at the time, because for whatever reason, there was two other guys that were with me from my office, but because my roommate called the news, I was the first guy they called, so I was the only guy getting all the interviews. And my manager said that I had to do one more interview and cut it off because he was afraid I was going to say something dumb. Because our parking garage and the building that we worked in was underneath the building. And he thought I was going to say something like, yeah, they could do that here too. And then they'd get thrown out of the building for me saying something like, yeah, that could happen in Columbus, Ohio, even though I know it could. And I would have said that, but he told me not to.
So he just changed. He talked to you before you went into the
interview. Yeah, he said, do one more interview. So I got to do my favorite morning radio show for 2 hours. They brought me into the studio.
That's cool.
And I sat with, they were called Wags and Elliot. They were like the Bob and Tom of Columbus. And that was pretty cool.
Okay.
But I did not get my clothes for 5 weeks.
Why so long?
Because the hotel was condemned and they had to go room to room and they couldn't get into the hotel for a couple of weeks, and then by the time they got to the hotel, they had to go room to room, loaded up in boxes. And so they loaded up my stuff and my roommate's stuff, because we were in the same office, in one giant crate, and shipped it to us. And all my stuff showed up at the office one day and just in this crate.
Wow. What floor were you on?
In the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
That was the fifth. I was only in the fifth floor in the hotel, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but wow. That's my World Trade Center bomb experience.
Okay.
And I'm very, 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 very lucky that they did it that way versus the way they did it on September the 11th, 2001, because all the people eating in the restaurant that I was in perished.
They did?
Everybody at Windows on the World on 9/11 died.
Wow. So that the restaurant was still there years later.
Up until the towers collapsed, that restaurant was there.
Wow. Did you get to know any of them at the Windows?
No. I wasn't there very long.
Okay.
So it was just a nice view. It's an incredible view. Those were incredible buildings. I was very sad that they fell down. I'm glad they rebuilt it. I want to take everybody to go visit it and go back up to the top and, you know, say I'm back at the top again, because right, it's a pretty emotional thing when they fell.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Is it the same number of floors now?
I think it's taller. Okay. But it's only one building right now. I don't know if they're not going to do Twin Towers.
Okay.
But it was incredible because I would come, you know, I'd go out to dinner in the night and come back and stare at the buildings. You'd look straight up and you'd almost fall backwards. It was incredible.
Right. So, fancy and creative nickname for the restaurant.
Windows, yeah.
Windows.
Windows on the world.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really... that is Windows on the world.
Yeah, that's all I had in my pocket was that. So that's my good luck charm.
That's cool. You carry that with you?
Keep my wallet. Just never left my wallet since that day.
Did you ever get your wallet back in the box, in the crate?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Got everything back. Couldn't believe it. Everything. Every stitch of clothing, every book, every penny that was laying on the, you know, counter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How far did you have to walk from the hotel to the World Trade Center?
Well, so the room that I was staying in was actually in the World Trade Center, so I'd never left the building when I would go to class.
Okay.
I would leave my room, and I'd just go, and I would... The World Trade Centers were like its own city. Like below them in the basement, not only was the parking garage for that hotel, which was connected to them, but the subway ran through the bottom of it.
Okay.
And there was two subways coming into the World Trade Center. One from New Jersey called the Path, and then just another one that was the line that would go, it was going to Brooklyn or the Bronx, or no, it went from Brooklyn to the Bronx. Okay, through there. So there's two trains going through there. So in the morning, if you wanted to go between buildings or to the subway or to get something to eat, you'd go down in the basement of these buildings and you would see people getting off of these trains, riding the escalators up to go to the work in the World Trade Center, right? Because there's 60,000 people. I don't know if that's 60,000 per building or 30 per building, but it was a lot of people. And they had 10 escalators lined up coming from these trains, and it was just like it was spitting out people for an hour and a half, just nothing but people going up.
Wow.
And then at 5 o'clock it was the exact opposite. It was really the coolest thing.
It was
an amazing place to
be,
hang out for a month plus.
So Merrill Lynch provided that for you? So like when you went there?
It was Dean Witter at the time.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Dean Witter. It was, yeah, they paid for everything.
That's a good experience. Was that like you were just learning? Did you take classes or did you work there and take classes?
It was mostly training. They were teaching me how to be a financial advisor, teaching me about investment products, relationship building. And back then you could cold call. So they would make us cold call from New York back home to try to build up a prospect list. So it was work and training at the same time.
Okay. That's good. And then... about how when you were going down the World Trade Center, you said it was like a chimney. So was it like you couldn't see anything before the lights turned off?
So when we started, you know, the lights were fine. Nobody was nervous. And then it started to get darker and the place did start to fill up with smoke like a chimney because it wasn't getting sucked out of the top like the people had designed it to do in case of a fire. It failed. The system failed.
Okay.
And then obviously when the lights went out, it was pitch black. And it was probably, it was two moments where I was a little nervous that I might not make it out of there. One was when the smoke started getting really thick and I was still like in the high floors.
Okay.
And then when the lights went out, both times my knees shook a little bit like I was going to perish in that building.
Right.
There was no place to go.
So is soot that came out your nose for like 5 days, like all the smoke stuff that you were with for 2.5 hours?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I'm guessing you're really happy to be back home in Columbus.
I was. Well, I was happy to be out of the building, but I really enjoyed that month. So
New York,
you know, going back to Columbus and having to go start my career was, you know, it was a good thing, but I enjoyed that time in New York because I got to see a lot of things like museums and went to a basketball game at Madison Square Garden.
Wow. Who'd you watch there?
God, who were the Knicks playing that day? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember who the Knicks were playing. They weren't playing
right
anybody that memorable. I remember Patrick Ewing, I think, was playing for the Knicks at the time.
Okay.
But it was really more about
just being in Madison Square Garden.
Being in Madison Square Garden. And again, the subway system took you right there. So the subway system was awesome. I love that.
Okay.
Going to Grand Central Station was a pretty cool place to just visit and see. So, and then just going to different restaurants and places you would go as a 24-year-old in New York, Upper West Side, Upper East Side, things like that. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it was.
Anything else about the World Trade Center I need to know?
I think I gave you all the important points.
Yeah, okay.
So, well, I think you got a half an hour to work.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for being in my interview, Mr. Donahue.
Happy to do it. Glad I had a story to tell. So just type it up, you know, and where you think the